Hey everybody, welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, and today I'm joined by two fabulous people. First of all, my co-host, Lee Marie Hostetter. Welcome.
Everyone.
And we have the special privilege of introducing IFBB Pro, Gina, and I do not want to mispronounce your last name, so can you pronounce it for our audience?
It's Amy. Hi, everyone.
Lutzini, I love that. That's very beautiful. And you're joining us from Canada, correct?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit,
Toronto.
Toronto. Okay. So tell us a little bit about you, like family, career, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I live in Toronto, Canada, with my husband of 20 years and my little kitty cat. By day, I'm the Canadian director for a luxury clothing company. And then I have a part-time gig as an online coach and nutritious planner for my company, Banana Split Squats. That's the summary of my basic life. I've been competing since 2012. So I've been, oh my God, 12 years now. I
Yes.
have competed basically every single year since then, except for during COVID, I did one show. But otherwise than that, I always did about, two, three, four shows per season. So on the
Yeah.
stage almost 40 times at this point, and
Wow.
finally won my pro card after 10 years in 2022.
That's exciting. Yeah, when we chatted before, over the phone, we had a conversation, and I thought of so many things that we have similarities because I started bikini in 2012, and I had done figure before that. But yeah, I've been married for 20 years as well, so I definitely have some questions around both of those items because I think it's kind of rare to find in this sport. And so, I guess just in general, how have you maintained your longevity with this sport? Because to me, that was kind of like the theme behind the podcast, like the prep life. It's just like part of your life. But what is your take on that, and how have you found that longevity to last for that long?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there where it's part of your lifestyle. So, I mean, I know a lot of people have, obviously, we all have big dreams of being pro and things like that, but I had to really take a step back that, my main focus was my family and my career. So I had to make this kind of, it's a hobby, still having my goals, but making it work for me. So I never did like big bulks and big cuts and things like that. Like I always try to just have this lifestyle throughout the season. If by doing multiple shows, like obviously, like I would be in prep for a very long time. Sometimes it would be 6 to 8 months of the year. So it didn't necessarily give me even a chance to kind of put on like a ton of weight, but I liked it like that. Like I like feeling good in my body all year round. I really did try to prioritize health as much as I could to, to do those little things like massage and stretching and all those things, and just trying to be as healthy as you can. Obviously, it's not like, well, we won't say this is a healthy sport, but just trying to, like you said, have the longevity so that I could keep doing it for a decade and plus and not burning myself out and still enjoying it, right? Like, I mean, I love the sport. I love the process. I love even just the changes and how it's evolved over the years. So it's been like a fun, really fun journey.
Yeah, you're totally segueing into my questions because that's what I was actually going to ask you next. It's just like, how have you seen the evolution of the sport over those, over a decade? And how have you yourself evolved in the way that you prep? Because I know for me, like my first prep, I like cringe at what I actually did because I just only knew what I knew. So what are some things that you've done to evolve within your preps and throughout that time?
Yeah, I mean, my first prep, I feel like it's have all the same story where it's very cringy what originally did. And I hired a coach, but it was a local coach who, she did the best she could with the knowledge that she had, but she was she was like a figure competitor, and her husband was a bodybuilder. So they very much was just like tons and tons of cardio and just almost like a crash diet. I did kind of. Part of it is my own fault in that I was very adamant that like I want to be on stage in whatever 16 weeks when I started with them, so they didn't really have an opportunity to kind of build me or anything like that, because it was kind of just it was originally just a bucket list thing, so I just wanted to get on stage, and then I actually loved it and I loved the process and all that kind of stuff, so I stuck with it. So just over the years I feel like you just kind of learn better strategies as far as like putting the time into the gym. Really, people focus on the actual like the prep and like that part, but it's actually the off season that's the most important, and that's where I found that my mindset changed. And posing too. Like in the beginning, like I didn't understand how important the posing was. And obviously, like for me, it's not my forte. Like I am, you know, it's taken me a really, really long time, and I've worked with some amazing coaches to kind of get me where I am. But I didn't realize how important it was, and I didn't realize how important it was to hire a coach that understood the criteria for posing in my country. Because originally, although we were affiliated with, you know, IFBB, it wasn't even really the NPC. We had the CBBF. So at one point, I had three different posing routines, depending on I was at a regional, the national, and then I was at North Americans. So you just have to kind of like, you know, go with it and understand that like, you know, you're going to have lots of ups and downs and failures and things like that, but just you have to embrace the journey and just grow with it.
Don't you feel like it was kind of just not even heard of to do more than 12 to 16 weeks, though? I mean, it was kind of like that's what you bought. Like you just bought the 12-week plan, and like they didn't even think about a reverse or like an improvement season or growth and things like that. But I don't know. So I
Yeah, I
don't
mean, the
think there's
basics were
anything.
different too, right? Like there was,
Yeah, the
you know, we
physiques were a
were,
lot different. Yeah, you
yeah,
could step
we,
on stage probably in 12 weeks and it would have been okay.
yeah, for
But
sure.
Lee, do you have any questions that have sparked from those comments or?
So, okay, so you went pro 10 years ago or 10 2 years. years ago. 2 years ago, so 10 years in, what was that journey kind of like? Do you think you gradually kind of it just took you a slower time to get to pro, or was it like something clicked in that prep and it was like now is time to go?
The big change for me was actually, I would say 5 years ago when I switched coaches. I had the local coach, and then 2 years after being with her, I hired a company from the US. And although that was fine for the US competitors, like as I mentioned, it was so different in Canada and what they were looking for. So I hired my current coach, James Erot, for Team Atlas. So since being with him, it's my preps have been night and day. My food strategies have been night and day. So like that was really when I started to see a difference, and just like the detailing that was into everything and how you were supposed to sculpt your body. And again, I mentioned the posing, like it was very adamant about like you do it all year round, like you don't just do it for your off season. So that was kind of when things started to like I started placing a lot more consistently at that point. Obviously, and there was COVID, so that kind of like curtailed a few things. And then there was 1 year in a row where I run like first in my height class at the national shows, every single show I did, but you have to win the overall to get the pro card. So I kept missing it. So then it was finally the year after that I got it. So it was just that was kind of the turning point, was I would say like 5 years ago. But you know, yeah, it was 6 years of up and down, spinning my wheels, kind of like placing really well and then placing really poorly. So, you know, definitely the roller coaster ride through there.
So, do you feel like with the merge of the NPC Worldwide and kind of bringing the Canadian, what does that stand for? The Canadian Bodybuilding
Federation,
Alliance
yeah.
Federation?
Or yeah, the CBBF was the Canadian Bodybuilding Federation. So it's kind of now it's with the, I think it's the IFBB Elite. Like, I don't know if that's, I think that's still around, but that's kind of where that went to. So they divided, they kind of segmented. So right now, the NPC slash kind of CPA is with the IFBB. And then the old federation kind of went to IFBB Elite or whatever they call it. So once that split, you know, I wanted to obviously go with, you know, the normal IFBB.
Yeah,
And then
I
that
agree.
made that made like everything was so much more streamlined. And then it was like us Canadian girls could actually do well in the States, because what they were looking for here then became aligned with what they were looking for on the pro stage, versus there was such a huge disconnect before. That's why a lot of the Canadian girls, they turned pro, but then weren't necessarily doing well on the pro stage, because what was being awarded wasn't necessarily the same criteria as what the IFBB was looking for.
So, did you mention that you won your pro card at North Americans? Is that where you earned pro status?
No,
Or
I won
no?
it at the Natural Pro Qualifier here in Canada.
Oh, okay. What's that called?
It's
The
Natural
Natural
Pro
Pro.
Qualifier. Yeah,
Oh,
that's
there's like that. I
the
thought it
acronym.
was like Van Weeder, like how it had a name, but it's just okay. Just vanilla Natural Pro Qualifier.
Natural
Okay.
Pro Qualifier.
So,
The year before I did North Americans and I came second in my height class. So I was like
oh,
one
bummer.
spot short
Yeah,
of
so close.
getting my pro card.
That's good because that's a big one. So as far as kind of changing gears here, you mentioned you were married for 20 years. So how do you make your relationship work with like your husband and kind of you being an athlete and balancing everything with him and the relationship there?
Yeah, I mean, I think because originally, like, I obviously wasn't in this when we started, and I wasn't even really going to the gym or anything like that. So it definitely took a lot of adjusting on his part. He is not necessarily like he is into more the gym now, and he does work out and eat healthy and stuff like that. But it was such a big transition, and that it was he had to get used to me spending so much time like away from home, right? Like, you spend a lot of time in the gym at that point. Cardio got to be a lot. Some days I would be doing 2 hours of cardio on top of my gym session. So just having that, him giving me the space to be able to do that and trying to support me as best he could. Obviously, like, we all have our mood swings, and you're cranky when you're on prep and you're tired and all that kind of stuff. So he was really good and just trying to, like, what do you need from me? How do I help you? Poor guy had to go to like all the shows and drive me. And originally, like, he helped me with my
Aww.
spray tan and, back when I did it myself. So he was a sport for it. But it does obviously, like, it's difficult on both parties, right? Like, especially when the food thing is such a big thing, and we can't go out like we used to. And at first I was a little more selfish in that I was like, no, I don't want you to eat this food in front of me. But as I got used to being it and stopped realizing this is like 100% my choice, and I can't make other people like suffer for my choices. And you just kind of get used to the lifestyle more. And I'm like, no, you can eat whatever you want. Like, I mean, I'm sorry we can't necessarily go out to dinner, but like, if you want to do takeout, bring it home. Like, you eat what you eat, and don't worry. Like, I have my food, and don't feel guilty for eating in front of me, because I'm okay with that. And like, I want you to, be able to enjoy your life too. Like, this is my choice and my journey, so you don't have to suffer with me. I think that's a big thing. People like to make everyone else suffer around them and complain too much too, right? Like, I think I took it out on him a lot too much in the beginning, and I would whine and complain. I was tired, I was this, I was that. But I don't think that's the right approach. I think you have to kind of, like, you find your other competitor friend, and that's who you whine to. So you don't do that to the person who's closest to you, because he doesn't want to see me in pain and stuff like that. So once I stopped doing those things and I learned to kind of like just do better, then it obviously was a lot easier for both of us.
Do you have any questions around that, Lemurie, or any other ones that pop into your head?
Yeah, so I just kind of want to know, once you turned pro, and started competing as a pro, what were the major differences in, were there major differences in your preps? Your feedback, so like what you worked on in the off season, and then did you notice major differences between the shows? So doing the local and the national shows versus competing as a pro.
I don't think there was too much different in my preps, I would say. I mean, the big thing was obviously the posing, because it goes to being like a 30, 15, 30 second to having like a minute and a half. So learning that whole routine and trying not to make mistakes, obviously is a big part. Being on stage for a long period of time wasn't a big thing for me, because I had done so many like national shows where sometimes you would be on the stage for like the whole time. They wouldn't necessarily make you leave. So I was kind of used to like the stamina part. But yeah, definitely the routine, that was a lot to get used to. As I said, posing is not my strength. So I had to make sure I was a lot more consistent in my off season. Like, even like the vacuum started to be a much more of an important thing, like core control, even like as you get older, all those little things. But I found it just so inspiring to be on the pro stage. I think that was the biggest thing that I really noticed the difference of. It was just like
when you're up there, it's just like, it was just so much fun. And it was like so cool to watch the girls, like when they would, like you're waiting on the side and you see them go do their routine. And it was like, I know I'm competing against them, but I'm cheering for them in my head. Like, wow, like you look so amazing doing, you're like, you have so much attitude and so much sass, and just like, it was just exciting for me. Especially like my pro debut, I did Vancouver pro show. Ashley Keltwasser was there. So that was like, you know, she's one of the OGs. So it was just very cool to see her in person. And I had like great camaraderie with my teammates were there. You know, really, really exciting. So I wouldn't say preps were any different besides posing, but that's the big thing about being on the pro stage is like, you have to do your routine, but it's just like, I feel like you draw energy from each other because like, it just, the caliber is obviously that much higher. It just inspires you to do more and kind of like get excited about your posing and feel the energy. And, you know, it was just, it's just a whole nother level. Definitely worth all the sacrifices.
Yeah. I was just listening to Ashley Kay give her top three favorite, one of the questions from their Q&A, her top three favorite shows was, one of them was Vancouver. And I think it was like right up there with Tokyo and like the Olympia or whatever. But yeah, it must have been a well-run show if she liked it, because we know how much she's competed. So, okay. So I remember when we talked, you have a lot of traveling to do with your full-time gig, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct? So what are some tips that you would give competitors that do have a job that requires a lot of travel? What are some things that you do to help keep you on track when you're on the road?
Yeah, I feel like preparation is the key part. So you have to do kind of research from basically where you book your hotel, maybe even the flights that you take, all those things. So, I mean, obviously it's great that they have pictures of the hotels online. So you can like, is there a gym? Is it sufficient? If not, is there something nearby that you can pay a drop-in fee? Look at the pictures, like, is there a fridge? If there's not a fridge, then call. Can you get a fridge? Can you get a microwave? All those things. So for me, I travel probably like almost every other week. I fly almost exclusively with carry-on. So I have to make sure everything fits in my little teeny suitcase, because I don't really have time to kind of be checking luggage all the time. Like, it takes a lot of extra, like, it's just a time sucker for your day if you're checking luggage and collecting it and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I just have to pack, like, I cook and freeze all my protein, so they all come with me. I do as best I can with, say, something like rice. I travel with like a lot of rice, but and you can go to like a sushi restaurant and ask for steamed rice if you run out, or, you know, some of the grocery stores do have like cooked protein. So bring your scale with you, bring lots of little Ziploc bags, and just be as prepared as you can. I don't mind traveling and being in prep, because it's like, you know, although your day is long, it's like, you know, you are done your day, you go back to your hotel, like you get changed and you go right to the gym. So, you know, you can still do, get everything in. Okay, if it's been like a really long day, you might have a little bit less energy, but maybe then just plan your workouts around like, my travel day I know is tiring for me, so I'm going to do this like an upper body day. So you might have to just switch your, like your splits a little bit. And as also depending on what gyms you'll be at. So I'm a runner. I like to run outside. So I try also to kind of like pick a hotel that's near like an outdoor running path, so I can kind of get that in. But obviously if it's like winter time, then, you know, just look for one that has several treadmills, because there's nothing more annoying than going down it in the morning and then everybody's there too. So you'd be surprised at how many people are early birds in hotel gyms. So
it's one. Yeah. I've seen that all the time. You have to get down there really fast, especially at like a show. If I'm traveling, it's like all the bodybuilders are on all of the cardio equipment. There's a weight. So Lee, do you have any questions that you would like to ask?
Traveling trips. That's really good. Not the moment I'm thinking.
Okay. Just kind of going into that. So I know that you have a full-time job. You're an athlete as, you know, an IFBB professional. So that's obviously a career as well. But then you also have an online coaching business, so as your side gig. So how do you balance your full-time job plus the online stuff, like with your clients and everything? with your personal training? Because you do virtual personal training.
Virtual.
Yeah.
How do you? Yeah, I do like that? Virtual. Yeah, I do virtual classes. Most of it is clients just purchasing like meal and workout plans. So obviously I have check-ins that go with that. Luckily technology is wonderful. And you know, I can get a lot done sometimes when I'm waiting in an airport or things like that. I can write my check-ins, but I'm a very organized person. So I try to maximize as much time as I can. If there's like downtime, being able to kind of like answer client check-ins or working on new meal plans or like workout plans for my clients. But yeah, the days do become very long. Sometimes you're still sending emails at like 11, 12 at night, but mm-hmm. most of the time I'm able to kind of fit it in with my job. I've been in my role with my full-time job for 11 years. So I'm pretty established within it. And, you know, I do a lot of traveling, but I have kind of made it as habitual as I can. Like I try to stay at like the same hotels and I try to pick, you know, reasonable times for flights and things like that. So like it keeps everything as scheduled as you can. And as I said, habitual, so that, you know, I'm doing kind of the same thing. So I don't have to think about all those extra little things. And then it frees up kind of like my brain and just making a habit of just getting from this time to this time, I do this, from this time to this time, I do this. I mean, sometimes I have my posing shoes on while I do my makeup in the morning so I can get a few, just get used to being in my shoes and then do a little bit of posing before I finally get dressed for the morning, and just trying to squeeze like it in where you can.
Yeah. I think you make a really valid point with just kind of getting like a routine and getting things like settled in your systems. So what are some ways that you were mentioning that you're really efficient and organized. So with your online clients, just out of curiosity, what's the kind of system that you use, and like, how do you stay organized with that? Like what kind of platform do you use, or do you just do like Excel? Email?
I do email and I use like Excel spreadsheets. I mean, a lot of like over the years I've built like, obviously like intake forms and Q&A forms and just like little like cheat sheets. So like, especially when you're onboarding new clients, I think it's important. They have a lot of like questions, but they're usually similar questions to the last person. So I have a lot of kind of just forms and things that I can send information to my clients so that it really helps them just feel comfortable and organized to begin with, which I've just built up like over the years. You know, most of my clients are pretty, like they're pretty understanding in that, you know, they're not like, oh, you have to respond to me like right away kind of thing. Like, you know, I've had a few needy clients, but most of them are like pretty good that like, I tell them, give me 24 hours to respond to your check-ins. I try to keep most of the check-ins in on like Saturdays or Sundays, just so I am off and I can like give the time to properly like answer. But of course, if they have questions during the week, then that's no problem. They can always like reach out to me and shoot me a text or a DM if they need to get something quick done.
Are they mostly lifestyle, or do you coach some competitors as well?
I've had one competitor client, but the rest have been lifestyle of all different kind of, you know, different fitness levels and goals.
Perfect. Lee, did you have any questions around that?
No, but I did think of a question.
Okay.
So I want to know kind of what is your go-to or your usual season look like throughout the year? Do you prefer to prep and do spring shows or summer or fall, or do you just kind of mix it up depending on your feedback and how, you know, long of an off season you need to take? And then are you in prep right now?
I am in prep right now. I am 8 weeks out from the Toronto Pro Show. When I was competing previously, like in the amateur leagues, we only had four pro qualifiers that I could do. So that was very dictated. Like I would just kind of do them all. So last year was my pro debut year. So I kind of wanted to figure out like what I wanted to do as far as like shows. So I ended up, like I said, doing like Vancouver Pro, with work. I had a hard time getting a second show in the middle of the summer. And then I really wanted to do Masters Worlds. Like that was on my bucket list forever since they kind of had announced it, since it started. Cause I'd always done North Americans as an amateur. So that was like, definitely like, I wanted to end my season that way. And so this year I've kind of planned the same thing where, now that they have Masters at Toronto Pro, I changed to do that show first. Cause originally I was going to do Clash. at the end of May. So instead, I'm like, I'm going to do on my home turf. You know, exciting for me to be able to, like, I love the stage. I've been on it so many times. So it's exciting to kind of come back to hometown and do a pro show. And then I'll probably do something in the middle of the summer and then finish with Masters World. I like three shows, I think, is a nice amount. Four can be a lot. But I did two last year and I felt like it didn't scratch enough of the itch. Yeah. Like it was kind of like, oh, I really feel like I had another one in me. Like, but by then, like for me, work is very busy in the fall. So that's why I try to end my season a little bit early.
So when you say that you're doing the Masters, what particular division are you? 40 plus, 35 plus? Like what? I don't know.
40 plus. They have at this show at Toronto Pro, it's a 35 plus. So,
So how'd you do in your pro debut and all that?
Vancouver, I came first. So
nice.
That was really exciting. Yeah.
And that was in 40 plus?
40 plus.
You said, okay.
And then Masters World, I came seventh. So yeah, like I was in first call out and then obviously like towards the end, but, you know, like really exciting. Like it was definitely a stacked class. I think there was, I can't remember, between 30 and 40 of us in that class. So there was a lot of girls. Yeah, it was huge. But
do you ever
really
do
exciting.
Open? Do you ever compete? In the
I did. I did open at Vancouver. I think I came eighth, so out of 10 of us. So I mean, if this, I will register for open for the Toronto Pro as well, just because like, I feel like if you're there, you may as well kind of do it. I may do like Tampa or Chicago Pro. And because Masters is like 2 days before open, I don't think that I would kind of like pay the extra to stay at the hotel and all that kind of stuff, just because I don't feel like I'm competitive enough to kind of, it's great to be on the stage with them, but I think maybe if I... Yeah, it's a lot of extra expense too, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, extra makeup. If you unless you do your own, do your own with all that stuff, or?
I've done it before, but for like the pro shows, I think I'd just rather just pay for it to be done. So
yeah. So give us some tips on, you know, being a Masters competitor. Like, what do you makes it? You know, what are some like things that are great about being Masters, and then what are some things that might be some like obstacles that you have to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, being a Masters competitor is great because you have a lot of really nice like muscle density, and I just feel like that mature muscle just like looks beautiful on stage. Obviously your skin is not as good, so definitely having like a really good skincare routine, I think, is like paramount if you're a Masters competitor. So not just your face, but your whole body. Like you really have to pay attention, like under the glutes. I feel like even at the waist, to kind of make sure like things kind of stay tight. Your skin is nice there. So, you know, I don't know if they actually work, but I use like those like anti-cellulite creams before I do my cardio. And then I put my neoprene pants on and, you know, get all the sweat going and things like that. Also have one of those like little home micro needlers. So I use that like on my glutes. I use anti-wrinkle cream on my glutes, all those kinds of things to just make sure I keep it as skin as nice as possible. Like I have thinner skin, but not like paper thin. So it doesn't, you know, really wrinkle as much as some of the other girls, but just, you know, making sure that, I think just as you get older too, you need to stay on top of your sleep hygiene is really, really important. Your massages, like all those, like, you know, kind of like self-care things. I think you just have to step that up a little bit as you get older, because your body doesn't recover as well as it used to. So you just have to like, you know, give it some little extra TLC and be kind to it. So do those little, make a few moments to stretch a little bit, you know, get your massages, chiropractor, sleep, water. Like I take collagen pills just to kind of like make sure like everything feels good. And, you know, obviously like the face stuff, you know, try and keep the scary face away if you can. You know,
when
with
you
all
say
those little...
face stuff, what kind of stuff do you do?
Like I do a little bit like filler in my cheeks just to like, so you don't get that like bad diet face. So stuff like that. And I have the microneedler I use on my face. And then just, you know, sunscreen. Like I said, I'm a runner outside. So sunscreen, like 30, 50 block all the time. Like even when I'm on vacation, like I slather myself in sunscreen. So I wear a big hat,
same,
all those kinds of things. So, but just, yeah, your vitamins and all those little things, but yeah, lots of extra self-care.
What would you today tell your younger self that was just getting ready to start competing? What would be the one piece of advice that you would have told your younger self to do differently as a bodybuilder?
I think be patient. You know, we're always eager to kind of get on stage to like win that pro card, to do this, to that. But it's like you need time in this sport. Like everybody always says, like it's a marathon, and it's true. Like you need to give your body time to develop and grow. You know, don't be afraid to lift heavy. I think that was a big thing back when we started. Like, you know, we were doing a lot of these pump workouts and these little things like that. But, you know, oh God, all the pliers. Yeah, I don't do any of that anymore. But like I lift heavy and I love it. And, you know, I'm so glad to be doing deadlifts and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, just, you know, be like, think about being strong and your body will grow. So I think just giving it that time and just, yeah, be kind to yourself. Like, you know, have that extra little bit of like peace of mind and don't be such in a rush to get things done.
Okay. Lee, do you have another question?
Yeah, I was wondering about, we hear a lot from the judges and the IFBB and the NPC about the it factor, especially with bikini. And when you get on stage, like what is your it factor and what draws the judges' eyes to you? So when you walk out on stage and do your routine, what are you thinking in your head and what would you say produces that it factor for you?
I'm just trying to show that how grateful and happy I am to be here and just thinking of it as like my moment to show off. So it's just like, I've done all the work and here I'm displaying it as best as I can. And I'm here to, you know, show you how much, like, you know, how much I love being here and that I'm excited and that like, I'm enjoying myself. Obviously there's a lot of nerves, you know, you shake a little bit and things like that, but just trying to be as in the moment, like feeling the music. Like I think there's a big part about when you're backstage is just trying to like ground yourself and like be present, like focus in and like just kind of like let all the energy and the excitement just make you like sparkle and shine, for lack of a better term, just because you put in all the work and you're glammed up and you've got these great like beautiful hair and makeup and sparkly earrings and, you know, you don't even realize unless you've been in the audience how much your suit sparkles, right? Like it's like it dances on stage. So it's just trying to like embody that on stage. And like, you know, I think if you're happy to be there, then the judges will notice you.
So did you ever get stage fright? Or you had mentioned that you weren't like the best at posing. What about that? Do you feel like you just didn't practice enough or didn't have the right like posing coach? What? Tell us a little bit more about that, how it's kind of that realization and kind of how you've been able to address that.
Yeah, definitely. I did not practice enough. I didn't put enough focus into that. I felt that like everything was like so awkward and I didn't understand like what I should be doing and why I should be doing certain things. And then you get frustrated. And because I didn't enjoy doing the posing part, I didn't put the work in, right? Like you kind of just do what like you like doing, like, right? So I definitely like did not put the effort that I really, really needed to. And then when I joined Team Atlas, that was like the first thing. He was like, no, you need to book posing classes with the coach. Like you need to do it all year round, like no exceptions, no excuses. So as I started practicing more, when you get better at it, shockingly, it's funner. It's way more fun to do, right? Yeah. So yeah. As you like start
to do things we're not good at.
Exactly, right? So once I got better at it, you know, I enjoyed it a lot more. You know, and once I was explained to me, like you pose like this to show off this part of your body, then if I understand something, I've understand the why, I'm like way more likely to do it. So then I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Like you want to see like a beautiful, like wide shoulders, small waist, popping my glute, like, you know, all those types of things. So once like I kind of got into the rhythm of it, you know, but it took years to kind of, for me to get more comfortable.
I definitely would shake before I would get on stage. I found a big thing for me is like I would like I if I was shaking too much, I would have to take off my shoes, stand barefoot on the ground backstage, and then quickly put my shoes back on just to kind of like settle myself for a second, because otherwise if you're on stage and your legs are just vibrating, you know, it's the judges can see that. They're close enough to be able to see. So you don't stage fright gets better over time as well, right? Obviously once you've kind of like been on stage so many times, it does get better. But yeah, it took me a long time to get the pose in. So still a work in progress.
Yeah. So if you were to give us your top like favorite parts of the prep life of living it, what would they be?
I think just embracing that you can transform your body. I love the process. I love kind of being able to shape and sculpt and like be proud of like how I've grown over the years and just like how much confidence it gives me, not only in like obviously my appearances, but my capabilities in the gym. Like I can go into the squat rack and be proud to deadlift the same amount as the guy that does next to me, right? So, you know, I love kind of like feeling great and just in my own skin and being confident. I love that like you don't really know who's watching, and sometimes like you get a lot of support from those unexpected people. Just people like you're having a dark day and someone in the gym could come up to you and just being like, wow, like your arms look amazing today. I just wanted to tell you that. And you're just like, it's like just so inspiring that like you can, you know, help other people just by being who you are and, you know, just role modeling that, you know, through your struggle and your journey as well. Sorry, what was the rest of your question?
Just like your top favorite parts of the prep life. So I think you answered it. Lee, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask? Okay. So Gina, were there any things that you want to share with the audience? Maybe questions that we didn't ask you, but that you wanted to share with everybody?
I just wanted to, you know, at any tip that I could give, you know, future competitors, whether you're starting your journey or midway through your journey, is make friends. Don't be shy to talk to people backstage. I have like my two best friends I met at shows. So they become lifelong people. Like one doesn't compete anymore, one still does, but it doesn't matter. Like just be open to the experience and, you know, don't just kind of hide in your corner. Like I'm not the most extroverted person, but you know, like I made such amazing friendships. And again, you don't know necessarily like who you've been inspiring over the years that people will come up and talk to you and that you didn't even know who was watching. So make sure that you like, just be open. Take so many pictures as you document your journey, because like, not only will you look back and be like, I look at how good I looked, and you'll, but part of it, you look back and be like, oh, I thought I was so amazing, but look how amazing I am now. So it's just, it's kind of twofold. It's great to kind of just be able to like go back and reminisce on like how funny the posing was back then, or like, you know, just like, oh my God, look how bad my tan was like back in the day. That was okay. And the suits and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, it's like, enjoy the experience, embrace the suck. It's all worth it. Just the darkest days, like nothing more than I can say that like every little moment of that your suck that you put in, like it's all worth it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more about the friendships. I feel like it's just a different type of person that chooses to compete. And I have two of my closest friends, they don't compete anymore, but I met them through competitions. And it's just crazy how, you know, that kind of mentality and things, it's just such a neat type of person, like with everything that we have to do and accomplish in a day as a competitor. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate all of your advice and tips that you gave. If people wanted to reach out to you or tag you on their story and say thank you or DM you, what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you and all that?
Yeah, Instagram is where I am most active. So Banana Split Squats is my social media handle. So I'm there, same on Facebook, but yeah, definitely Instagram is the best one. I do have a website as well, bananasplitsquats.com, for any further like information on my services. But you know, anybody, like just even if you have a question or anything like that, always happy to help, or advice or anything, you know, it's,
we're all here for each other. Like, it's such a great community. So never be shy to ask somebody. Like, probably if I don't know the answer, I could probably find from somebody else. And we've all been through so many different struggles that, or know someone who's been through the same struggle. So, you know, don't be shy to ask questions. You know, just happy to be of help in any way I can.
I love that. Yeah. And if you would like to follow us on Instagram or tag us on your story, you can find us at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for coaching with Lee Marie or myself, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the get started button. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for joining us, Gina. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.